Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, January 26, 2013. Today I'll be interviewing Robert Stanley. Robert is the editor of Unicus Magazine. He was formerly a corporate journalist for Honda Research and Development in Torrance, California. He's also the author of the book Close Encounters on Capitol Hill and Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. And he's the host of the Unicus Radio Hour, which has been on America's Morning News and America's Radio News Network. So, Robert, thank you for being with us today on Cosmic Love.
Oh, my pleasure, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I thought it was real timely what happened with the Prime Minister of Russia coming out just, 4 days ago and mentioning that either Obama does disclosure of the alien presence or he's going to. And it was interesting to me that there was not just, these weren't just words, that at the same time in that article that referenced this, there was a link to The Real Men in Black, which is a Russian documentary video of their dealings with the alien presence over many years. And I watched that video, and it was poor dubbing of the captions, you know, the translation from the Russian to the English. But it was, to me, it was like an attempt, a professional attempt, to get at a subject which has just been virtually taboo in America.
Yeah.
So you've been working with this for some time. Your two books on the subject.
I've been actually researching and reporting on covert UFO activity in Washington, D.C. since the spring of 2005. And that kind of got me in trouble with some people there in D.C. They don't really like me too much. So they sent a black helicopter to my house when I was living in Los Angeles at the time. When I first broke the story with the photographs of them swarming over and landing on the Capitol July 16th, 2002, I know a lot of people heard me say this before, so I'm kind of running over it a little quickly. But, yeah, there's a lot that's been going on in Washington, D.C. behind the scenes that people just don't know about. And, well, innocently, I suppose, I got involved in this because of the photographic evidence. I was analyzing that. And then I realized that there was an entire history there that had been overlooked or ignored or suppressed. So that's how I got involved in Washington, D.C. But, you know, what's happened recently with the Prime Minister of Russia, last month, he had been at a news station. You got to understand something, too. He's on his way out.
Yeah.
So he doesn't feel obligated to toe the party line as much right now, and that's why I think these things are happening. But and I think he has personal understanding of this matter because based on what he said at the TV station, he was being interviewed by he was actually giving a legitimate news interview. After the interview was done, some of the reporters would come up to him and were talking to him off the record. Well, apparently somebody was filming with like a camera, a cell phone, whatever. And this one female journalist is having an exchange with him about, you know, just different things. And she asked him, well, what about the extraterrestrials? And he just gave her a straight answer. He wasn't joking, like the media tried to say he was afterwards. If you look very carefully at that, the woman journalist, the news reporter, is giggling. But I think she's just nervous.
Yeah.
And a little bit shocked that he's even answering her questions so directly, saying that, yes, every prime minister is given a dossier about the nuclear codes and the briefing on the extraterrestrials that live here among us. And he said, if you want more information about that, there's a movie, and he said Men in Black. Well, most people, including myself, thought he was talking about the American movie, which is a spoof, you know, Men in Black, right?
Yeah.
But he was actually referring to the documentary, which you sent a link out to your audience today. And I'd already seen, the funny thing is, I'd already seen that before he made the statement, because somebody brought it to my attention. In there, that Russian documentary says, hey, the American government knows about this. They've known about it for a long time. And they even referenced that, alien bodies were secreted underneath the Capitol building, which I reported in both my books. This was sometime back in the 30s, way before Roswell. So they know. Believe me, the Russians have been very open about this kind of paranormal, spiritual, psychic stuff for a long time. You know, I mean, that's just part of their culture. They're not shy at all.
Well, what's interesting to me about this is that, of course, the reason why this cover up is going on, and a lot of people really can't even believe that it's going on because, well, if it was true, the media would tell us, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but it's really once you kind of tune into, you know, the method to the madness, you know, why this goes on. I put it in the category of the power trips of the power elite.
Yes.
It's all about power because, number one, if there had been a cover-up for all these years, which obviously there has been, you know, in a little bit of research, actually reading your article is one of the best overviews I've seen on that.
Oh, thanks.
You know, that one link I sent out today.
Yeah.
And, you know, from that perspective, you know, it becomes kind of self-evident. Okay, there has been a cover-up, and so then all of a sudden, if they do an unveiling or disclosure, if you know, obviously they would lose credibility. You know, why didn't they tell us before? But then it becomes clear that when I say it's about power, if it became well known about all these UFOs and all this technology and all this power that would be available. Like, you know, the Nikola Tesla stuff that's been suppressed for 100 years,
right?
Then it becomes kind of self-evident that there would be a transition from the dirty petrol energy, you know, from coal and oil that has been powering our system, and the power elite, so to speak, would lose power. So they would lose power. They'd lose money and power. So that's one aspect of it, And then I'm looking at, and I got this email in response to that. Someone sent this out to me today, and this was in response to the email that I sent out. And this was the email that was on alien disclosure going mainstream. And some of those probably listening to the show now received that email. And he says, all this is true about the power. Money is power, and the loss of money would lead to their loss of power over us. All this is true, but the biggest reason for the ET alien issue to remain on the back burner is that premature revelation of the truth of ETs would effectively and prematurely end the great experiment that is our evolving humanity here on Earth. This grand experiment, created and put in place by ETs about 100,000 years ago, is too valuable to end before it is complete, and it will not be complete before we as humanity evolve and mature enough to become more truly adults, quote unquote. And as adults, humanity will be able to interact with ETs as equals instead of projecting parent and savior complexes on the ETs and expecting them to clean up our messes and fix our problems. What a grand disservice it would be if they did that, and the ETs know that. Now, this mess is our responsibility, and ETs who set this experiment in motion know that, and so they stay out of the way, and this experiment can't run its course. I mean, and so that this experiment can run its course, and they can greet us as equals and co-creators. Childhood's end, indeed. And this is from Ken Jenkins. I thought that was really astute. I mean, there's something to that, you know. And when I say that,
do you mind if I critique that?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, no offense, Mr. Jenkins, but you're missing out on a point here, which is they're not all good and they're not all bad.
That's right.
You have to factor in something here that most people are missing, and that is that the good guys are. They do things very differently. They are part of the creator's plan, and they do create worlds, whereas the bad guys destroy worlds. And what they did was when they showed up here is they destroyed this world, they destroyed the surface of Mars, they destroyed an entire planet, which is now an asteroid belt.
Maldek.
The reason they didn't fully destroy this world is because the planet Earth has a lot of resources on it, such as plutonium and gold, and the genetic material that the divine race of humans had actually been seeded here. Okay, so when the good guys showed up, this world was still in a primitive state, and they upgraded it, and they upgraded all the life on it to be in their image. When the bad guys showed up, they destroyed this world, and they turned around and
they tinkered with their DNA.
They tinkered with the DNA that was here in order to create a slave species.
Yep.
So I want people to understand. I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody, but this is the way I see it now after many, many, many years of research in this field and having my own experiences with these beings, both good and bad. I can tell you that we're missing, typically this conversation that we're having is not complete. There's pieces that are absolutely left out. Mainly, this was done by design. You know, this whole concept of us that we're primitives evolving is simply incorrect. It's not a fair. It's not a level playing field. It's nothing fair about it. The reason that the cover up is ongoing is because the bad guys have been dominating here for thousands of years, and they don't want to lose control of us. They think that we are their property.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard for people to believe, especially when we have free elections, so to speak.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you know, I say that tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
So where does that leave us now? I mean, there's this battle of light and darkness. You might say principalities of darkness, as the fundies would call it.
That's right.
And it's within all of us. I mean, everyone's, you know, I sometimes tell people this is the classic time of the judgment.
Yes.
Individually and collectively. And because now it's an instant everywhere interactive global village. It's, you know, the internet has brought us to the point of the internet. You know, either we're all centered and connected, or we're divided and conquered.
But that's why, and Chris, it's a good point. That is why, even though we are digitally connected, spiritually we've been divided. Politically we've been divided. Economically we've been divided. That's how we remain conquered. And even the whole concept of us being divided from the extraterrestrials is more of the nonsense of, you know, the isms, you know. We're all one. There is only one creator. Okay.
Right.
There's only one creation. Yes, it's a multiverse. Yes, we're part of a holographic fractal, and it's highly intelligent. It's always been that way. But there is an illness. There is a virus. I mean, and it's not us. It's in us.
It's a dis-ease.
Yes, it is, because evil is something that didn't exist in this universe until it was brought here. And that was only simply the exercising of free will by some of our ancestors who were created perfect. They were and are human, but they were told not to go certain areas of the universe because it was dangerous. Well, they went there anyways, and when they came out, they were deranged. They were possessed. They had become demonic, and they immediately turned on their own kind, and they started destroying worlds rather than creating them as the Creator had given them the ability to do. You know, so.
This is a subject. I'm sorry. This is a subject, though. When you get into evil as an energy veil, you know, a veil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I refer to as devils, the demonic mm-hmm. stuff, as deified energy veils. People, by their free will, they deify this evil. You know, thinking mm-hmm. you know, good, evil is good, and good is evil. They get it all mixed up.
Yeah.
And of course, this cognitive dissonance is kind of the name of the game. There's so much of it these days that most people just kind of check out and go with the flow, you know.
Right. Yes, normal on this world is aberration or abnormal to the creation of the universe. The Creator didn't design us this way. Our DNA has been corrupted. Our souls have been damaged from being here. This planet was a paradise. I mean, it was absolutely a place of immense beauty and health. Everything was perfect up until the time that the fallen ones came here and wreaked havoc and devastation on the solar system. And
so how do we get back to that? That's the big question.
Yeah. Well, okay, since you asked, apparently provisions have been made. Now, I can't, even if I knew all the details, I couldn't divulge them because this is an ongoing struggle.
Yeah, I believe this. I'm getting this from different perspectives, and I just wanted to hear your take on it.
Right. Well, I could tell that was a leading question because you're obviously very bright and very connected on, but through your soul. Our soul is a coherent light, like a ball of light, and it is when we the internet is a very, very corrupt version of the web of life that connects all of us. It was sort of
the Antakarana,
the Avatar. Pardon?
Yeah, the Antakarana, the web of light.
Yes, it's absolutely who we really are.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, we've been disconnected. Most of us has been disconnected intentionally by the dark side. I mean, you got to understand, they made a choice, and the consequence was that they became disconnected. So they're parasitic in nature, to put it plainly. And rather than calling them evil, I would just say, specifically in scientific terms, they're parasitic.
Or service to self rather than service to others.
Well, yeah, because they're not feeding from the source. They're not connected to the light any longer, so they have to be this way. And that's
right.
Why they actually feed off of the negative energy that they generate in us. By manipulating us. That's why they do everything covertly behind the scenes. And unfortunately, that's why the good guys, who are still in service to the Creator, in the light, they have to remain very cautious about how they operate here, because it's dangerous. It's extremely dangerous for them. And besides that, it's not like they're going to come down and just whoop people's butts either. That's not how they do it. They're not destructive at all, by any means. They're trying to remedy an illness, with an aberration within the creation. So that's what they're doing, and believe me, there's contingency plans. Unfortunately, as I said to you off the air, the good guys know that if they move too quickly to liberate too many of us, it will be seen as an act of theft by the bad guys. They will they literally think, like I said, they believe that we and this planet are their property. And that it's a theft. It's considered theft if for the good guys to come in here and try and liberate us. So in their crazy warped view, they're willing to completely destroy this planet and all the life on it if they feel that they're losing control.
Their time is short and their wrath is great, kind of a thing, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, there's all these metaphors out there. I like to think of the internet as a metaphor for the internet,
Net,
mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. that called the web of light, you know, the web, the source connection, the power of source,
mm-hmm.
this is real higher power, and this is the judgment that's going on, that's ongoing, and you know, this is where the rubber meets the road as far as conscious evolution goes and understanding the dynamics of it. I think the whole problem solving process, before you can, you know, you have to have a good definition before you have, you know, have good solution. And this whole thing with disclosure, you know, is really the unveiling of what the frick is going on with, you know, this dynamic. And I think this is one of the most important, you know, issues that anyone, you know, we're really trying to get a handle on conscious evolution individually and collectively. This is what it comes around to.
Yes. Yes. And it's not that we can't evolve, obviously. It's just that we're being prevented or hijacked in a sense where it's being blocked. Our true potential has been corrupted.
Hijacked, yep.
Yeah, and it's being blocked right at this time for the benefit of these parasitic fallen ones. But you know what? In the end, everybody has the potential to be redeemed and move back into the light and reconnect to the source and ascend. So, but
I believe that. And I think that the ascension process is the conscious evolution process.
It is. It's sort of it's an interrupted journey, Chris.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. You know, it's not like we're, you know, this whole thing about we're born into sin, it's true in a sense, but it's not our fault, okay? And I don't want to make everybody out to be a victim, because ultimately I look at us all as survivors. The fact that we're even alive at all in this environment,
especially at this time,
amazing time. Yep.
And this whole thing of sin, disease, and death, and that whole downward spiral, the negative BS with isms, I really believe that the victory over all of that, you know, with and getting past sin as stuck in negativity, you're talking about downward spiral, that's what sin really is. It's being stuck in negativity, to where people just like are self sabotaging with victim because they just, you know, they're just stuck. And
it's a choice,
to me,
though, Chris.
It's a
choice.
It's a choice.
It's a bad choice, but it's nonetheless
it's
still
a choice.
Part of our free will. Yeah.
And with free will, you know, everyone's 100% right for their prevailing awareness because they have their own free will, you know.
That's true, but it's true, but there's a limit
for their prevailing awareness, not necessarily for the collective.
And that's a good point, because we are part of a collective creation, as I said, a holographic fractal, which is highly intelligent. Okay, there is a limitation on how much destruction will be allowed to occur. Okay, because everything is infinite and timeless, really, in the greater picture, souls are immortal. This was allowed to happen to a point. It's not going to go on forever. It's not going to affect all of creation, which is a multiverse. This isn't the only universe. That's part of what I'm working on next in my next book. A lot has been revealed in a very short time about parallel worlds.
Parallel,
And I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's true. What I'm finding is factually verifiable from multiple sources, and it's coming together. It's so coherent, Chris. The way this thing has fallen into my lap, I'm shocked. It takes a lot to shock me, considering the kind of information I deal with on a daily basis, and the life that I live. But I'm telling you, God is absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
His ability to create in ways that are just literally boggle our minds. Is truly infinite, and so there's all kinds of contingency plans that have been
all kinds of contingency plans. I've been writing a lot about the source field investigations last year, and that one of the ways that Creator Source is working through the field, you know, the quantum field, and working through our DNA and our consciousness is like, you know, the backdoor approach from the inside out.
Yep.
And that there's a spontaneous evolution going on in our DNA and our collective consciousness, and it's rebooting. It's from the inside out. And so everything we're seeing on the surface is just like, symptoms of the disease that are being purged.
Yes. We also, as a species, have been, like I said, we were degraded. We were corrupted. The DNA here was perverted. However, there's been a covert program to reestablish or revitalize that DNA here.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. This spontaneous evolution in our DNA, that's going on.
Well, part of it is physical, too, though. It's something I only found out recently. And you actually know this. You were telling me off the record about somebody you know is part of this. These changelings, these changelings that have been brought here intentionally,
lots
purposely.
Of them. Lots of them. They're all over the place.
It's cleaning up the gene pool, okay, because they become part of our society. These human ETs that are living here, most of them are not corrupted. They still carry that more perfect DNA, right, that code. And so as they blend with us, it's cleaning up the gene pool.
Yeah. Well, I have stories from people I know, different individuals I know that have been beamed up multiple times into Federation starships, the pilot craft or the different crafts multiple times, and sometimes with groups of people. And I mean, these are firsthand accounts, you know, them telling me, and one guy I lived with was several months, and you know, I don't know, there's so much more going on, but the major thing that I understand, the major hope that that is working from the inside out, that is really, you might say, establishing the program for the holodeck. like there's this holodeck that we all live in. The holographic field between our ears, you know, the holodeck between our ears, is powered by, you know, the electromagnetics of the heart, and it's like 200 times the magnetics of the brain field, or you know, or 2,000 times, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the brain field, you know, the holodeck, you know, the upper, from the upper brain to the lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain, you know, that whole field, you know, like four foresight, hindsight, you know, you get into all these dimensions of what's going on in the holodeck, and that there's that's all the field thing is there's the energetics at this time at this and this is going on for about a 10-year period. It wasn't just December 21st, 2012.
Right.
This alignment, this thing of galactic alignment, and the surge in the source field with the alignment of our solar system with the photon belt of our galaxy and the photonic light that's flooding the Earth right now, there's a stimulation of the DNA and consciousness and a morphing of the morphic field, you know, in our DNA and then between our ears and the collective consciousness. And I'm getting just different windows of this, and I'm fascinated with it.
Well, as you should be, because life is far more interesting than you would ever know if you watch television. It just makes me ill right now, Chris. If I look at television for more than a few minutes, all I see is just pure evil, and it's like, God, turn that off.
Yeah.
You know, it's just constantly bombarding us with negativity, and I can't take it. I mean, no, I refuse. I simply.
Well, you just have to get the Hallmark Channel and have a good cry every once in a while.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. It's so transparent. It's so transparent to me right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I'm allergic to any of that negativity. It's not that I'm in denial. I just simply don't accept it any longer. I mean, I won't see it for what it is. And I think a lot of people are, even people who are not really consider themselves spiritually minded. They're just, it's sort of the great awakening that's occurring right now, very rapidly.
I think so. And I think that, you know, this is going to play out with checks and balances that we can hardly understand, you know.
Yes.
And I really believe that the more that the powers that be, so to speak, push, you know, to control, the more they lose control. This is the dynamic, right? This because of the instant everywhere interactive internet, people they woke up to the game, you know, the manipulation.
Chris, the way they operate is they have to be very manipulative, deceptive, and covert in order to get us to go along with it, because it's not our natural tendency. The soul doesn't want to be imprisoned. It's a violation of our free will.
So
they have to go. They have to go, you know, into this convoluted nonsense. And you're right. When they're desperate and they do things a little too quickly and push too hard, they make mistakes and they drop the facade. And then people go, "Wait a minute, that's just wrong." You know,
wrong. Yeah, and that's I think that's what's going on with, you know, there's a pricking of conscience that's happening increasingly. You know, it's like Martin Luther King saying, "I have a dream," and President Obama saying, "I have a drone." You know.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's like, what does it take to prick consciousness? Mm-hmm. When, you know, with here we have, you know, a president that was just celebrating the legacy of Martin Luther King, who was extraordinarily anti-militaristic. And there's just so many things like this going on, and it's like everyone's judgment. It's like everyone's judgment. I mean, if I can't think of a better time in history when a soul could have the opportunity to put their finger on the pulse of the collective consciousness with any news feed on the internet on a regular basis, and just get put their finger on the pulse and what's going on, and do a read on it, and basically have discernment that just, you know, righteous judgment.
Yeah, and the choice is becoming more clear every day because of shows like yours and the work that you do. Then people, it makes it clearer to them where the line is between the light and the dark.
Yeah, discernment. You know, and it's a fine line. It's a razor's edge. And I'm always playing that thing.
Yeah.
Right. And I try to put them into words. It's always a game with semantics anyway. When you because words are like symbols of symbols twice removed, you know, of the real thing. I mean, you got letters and words,
abstract.
But it's abstract. And so I try to play around with, you know, the geometric order of divinity, and I've been talking increasingly about the fractal order of the holographic universe because you know, it kind of keeps coming back to this holism concept of how. One way of referencing, you know, how it's all connected or unity conscience is the holy, holistic, holographic whole, you know. It's just that concept, and it's interesting to me as the Saxon word "hal" means, you know, from the, you know, is the source of the word "whole" or "health" and "holy," and it means sound. The "hal" means sound. Or, you know, that was the name of the computer in 2001, Space Odyssey. Hal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it also it originally meant sound or whole, and when you're of sound body and mind, you know, the whole or Holy Spirit dwells within you. So that,
yeah, that's why in the Lord's Prayer it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name."
Hallowed be
it's
thy
holographic.
Name. Yeah, holographic. It's whole. Whole yep. be thy name. When Jesus healed people, he'd get their attention, you know, and he'd say, "Would thou be made whole?" You know, and he'd just mm-hmm. like commanding mm-hmm. presence, and they'd look at him, and they'd say, "Yea, Lord." And he'd go, "Be thou made whole." You know, and boom, you know, it's like wholeness. And yep. you think about that. It's just like a resonance with the holy whole.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, because it is, because we are a vibratory signature. We were created whole from the beginning by by an intelligent living energy, and it has a blueprint for each one of us. Like it says in the Bible, this creative God knows every hair on our head because it created us at whole, perfect. The problem is here, when we're born here on this fallen world with these fallen angels, we're literally born onto a battlefield. That's what I meant by sin. It's not a person intentionally wakes up one morning going, "Oh, I'm going to sin." You're in it. We are in
yeah,
it.
This
is hell. This is as close to hell as we're going to get.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting, too, because you get into Braden's stuff about, you know, emotional change, how your emotions are what really programs your DNA and stuff.
Yes.
Greg Braden.
Yes.
And that so much of the terror and just dark stuff, the commercials of movies coming out, the evil stuff, just terror and horror
right,
shows. I mean, it's like they're incessant. And it's just like, you know, that frequency,
mm-hmm.
if people that get into that stuff, I know people that went to horror shows until shadows started to move on them, you know, and they
That's
just,
the
you know,
point, Chris. Did you see my article about the Archons with the images?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, so those shadowy figures, those shadowy figures have been with us for a long time. They're the ones that possessed our ancestors long ago when they went into a place that was forbidden. Those are actual manifestations of a negative energy that is not part of the creation, not part of this creation, but it became manifest in the creation. They are the infestation. They are the virus. Those things treat us like the best analogy I can give is like in the Matrix. You know, they're sort of machine-like. They feed off of our energy like a battery. That's where they draw their energy to exist from, is our negative emotions. So they insinuate themselves in our conscious minds without us knowing. Like, you know, like when a tick bites you, typically you won't feel it because they're really good at sneaking up. That's the only way. I mean, if you felt it, you would just, you'd immediately.
So all these vampire movies and all this other stuff
that.
Is just, it's all metaphor for just sucking, milking the light of the masses.
Not the light, the darkness. See, that's the difference. They
don't feed off of
the light.
They feed off of the light. They feed off of
the
dark.
If they fed off the light, they wouldn't need to do all this insidious, parasitic stuff. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Everything would be fine. It would be back to perfect again. Behold, no. Instead, it's divided. It is divided. The duality is real. It's
well,
not
that's
a
and I think
choice.
That's why. And this is Greg Braden's point. If you feed off of the light with your emotions, listen to beautiful music. And have beautiful thought forms.
Right.
And keep harmony is the goal in relationships. And just to have the centered and connected, you know, beauty, harmony, and love, you know, and the frequency of it, you will reboot your DNA. I mean, it's like we shape our environment, and our environment shapes us, and our DNA is like a tuning fork. And so if we...
It is.
Yeah.
There's a feedback mechanism in there
that
makes it perfect. That's what makes it whole or holographic. It's all self-referential. And so when it's working perfectly, and the energy doesn't dissipate. The intelligence, the consciousness keeps cycling through and evolving to a higher order. But when you have an infection, like we do here and elsewhere, it's causing a rift. And like I said, there's a limitation to how far this will be allowed to go. But it is serving a purpose. It really is. It's as far as on some level, some of us actually will become stronger for having experienced this.
Oh, I believe that. And it's like if we didn't have choices, you know, and in astrology it's doing the same thing. It's the squares mm-hmm. and oppositions that are the growth opportunities. The mm-hmm. trines and the sextiles, you know, it makes things that are easy and you just don't grow from it.
Right.
And psychology is the same way. You know, it's if you don't have challenges, you know, you just take life for granted. And,
right.
you know, but the growth opportunities come from challenges. And that's what, this is all the test that's best. I mean, I can see the timing right now. It doesn't get any better than this. This is just
no.
globally with the Internet. It's so amazing.
The,
you know, and to me, to go on, and I love Facebook as a research tool, because
mm-hmm.
you can connect with people that are into what you're into, you know,
mm-hmm.
that are all over, and the stuff that they're finding, and the pictures, and the graphics, and the articles, and it's just, to me, it's an extraordinary research tool. I mean, my writing and my work, since I've used it as a tool, you know, and I don't do the chat thing, or, you know, it's the whole situation right now with the Internet. It's kind of at an adolescent stage, like humanity is.
Yeah.
You know, like that
yeah.
quote I gave from this guy before, childhood's end. You know, the Internet still, you know, it's not a child anymore, but it's not an adult either.
Mm.
And so there's this new social conscience emerging in social networks, but it's not mature yet.
No,
you know what I mean, and matter of fact, the infrastructure of social networks keeps it that way at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the next phase. I've written quite a bit about this. I don't know if you've seen my articles on this.
Yes, I have.
The next phase will be an interactive interface where, you know, 100, 1,000, or a million people can respond to the same program at the same time, in the way that it involves and evolves. You know, the language of consciousness. With an interactive interface that, you know, that basically cross-references, you know, the three dimensions of the holodeck, which
mm-hmm.
self-references the fourth and fifth dimension, and from there, you know, it's the language of consciousness that involves and evolves consciousness. And anyway, I put that out there. I don't get a lot of feedback on that.
Well, I think it might be a little ahead of its time.
Could be, and
it's coming.
And, but at the same time, someone had to do it. You know, as far as
yeah.
get it out there, and actually, there are individuals that like Dan Winter. He was on the show here several months ago,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you know of Dan Winter, but he did the heart coherence research technology that the Heart Institute. Heart Math Institute picked up and ran with, and they didn't do his original research justice, and he's going on, Dan Winter, to develop this interface. But he's even got it on, you can get it on an iPad now, or your iPhone, and it shows you when you're in heart coherence. It shows you when you're in heart coherence with the person you're speaking to. And it does that through a golden ratio algorithm of your heart rhythm as a function of your breathing.
Wow.
And the sophistication of his mathematics and science behind this, he has hundreds of website pages that are all, you know, the logarithm mathematics, I mean, the detailed specifics of this. And he originated this whole thing of heart coherence, that all these heart coherence organizations on the Internet, if you read about them, they all go back to, you know, he originated the concept, and they pick up on it, and they run some aspect of it or another. But anyway, he just came out of Christmas with this application, like this $18 app you can get for your iPhone.
Whoa.
That shows you when you're in heart coherence with the person you're speaking with. Now, the interesting thing about this, you can have a whole network of, when people are in heart coherence, it's like a golden ratio algorithm of your heart rhythm. You're in the frequency of holy compassion. It becomes like a standard for communications. And it's like, you know, the whole concept of, you know, unity and diversity, you know, there's unity conscience. What does it mean? Well, like I say, it's like the heart is 200 times the magnetic, or was it 2,000 times the magnetic, of the brain field. And that's what really, so heart coherence, you know, if you're in heart, you know, it's like the brain is popping on all cylinders, kind of a thing, or at least it's popping on the correct cylinders.
Right.
It, like there's a resonance there with the frequency of holy compassion. The implications that are really profound, and I've played around with some of those implications, but the concept of heart coherence and mind congruence, it's like the best of the left brain and the right brain, and so people with the whole brain can get their act together.
But you're also talking about the unity factor of humanity.
That's
we've
right.
We've been trained and designed in such a way, manipulated into seeing only that which separates us.
You're
talking about the potential, and this is what scares the dark side more than anything, the potential of us tapping into the realization that we are one, that we are all part of one creation together. And as we realize it and then act on that realization, as I said before to you, that's pretty much game over for the bad guys, as far as we're concerned.
That's right. And, of course, that's an ongoing process. And,
yes.
Some of the bad guys are being taken daily, so to speak, to the judgment of sacred fire or whatever. Some of them will be given another chance. Some of them will be, that'll be it as far as their souls. They'll get repolarized into the lake of fire, so to speak, the quantum field, and they're no longer an individualized soul if they really abuse, and this is cosmic law, as I understand it. You got so many chances to get it right, and if you just basically don't bend the knee to the real powers that be, source,
It's still the choice. Yes,
and so then it comes down to if you're a poor investment, if you're in poor investment for Source, they'll foreclose on the loan.
Because like I said, there's a limitation to how far the infection is going to be allowed to spread, and the
damage
that's allowed to be done to the body of this universe. And I can't speak for the other universes, but I know that the parallel planet to this one is still pristine. So somebody's blocking the bad guys from getting over there. Consider it an island. As like I said, a contingency plan. There's sanctuary. Sanctuary is a real thing.
Yeah.
Divine mercy is a real thing. It's not words. I'm not just speaking words. I'm talking about an actual place and an actual act that has been provided for us. I understand how this is functioning because I asked. The good guys never just impose themselves. So it's incumbent upon us to ask for clarification or information or help, but always to do so gratefully with an open heart. And if you do that, nothing will be denied us.
That's
nothing,
true.
Nothing,
it's
nothing.
And I think the true original meaning of repentance, so to speak, is to basically return to the pure intention that focuses attention with, love's retention. And I play with those words a lot, but, the concept of intention, attention, retention, ascension, that whole process of conscious evolution, if you don't return to a source connection with just intention, with just pure intent, with intent for source connection, if there's not that, you just can't move ahead. There's no focused attention. There's no loved attention.
And it's unsustainable. That's the other thing that the guys on the dark side know. They, as parasites, they know there's a very finite amount of food or energy for them to sustain themselves off of, and it's a dead end street. It really is.
And there's also the fact that the parasites can pretty much destroy the host, which they're pretty much doing.
Well, but that's not. They have done quite a bit of damage. But as I said, the Creator just keeps creating, and not only him, but he created copies of himself. Like I said, our original ancestors were created perfect, and they go out and they terraform worlds, and they upgrade things so that the worlds are perfect. All life on there is perfect. It's not cannibalistic. It's not parasitic. It's purely healthy, purely loving. And it's
I believe that. And I believe that's a lot of what's going on now with the redirecting of Planet X, so to speak. So it hasn't been inbound. I've written about this recently, that it's being consciously directed somehow by the Council of Worlds or Source or the Source, you know, or the Field or there's some conscious, and obviously if and when, you know, it comes through with the flyby, you know, there's going to be some big changes.
Yeah.
And then the question is, you know, what do we learn from all that?
They say, look, there is a lifeboat just in case.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a lot of different contingency plans. They don't want, and no soul is ever really truly lost unless they choose to be in that position. Like you said, like you were saying before, everybody's given a chance, multiple chances to come back into the light. And if they choose not to, that is their choice. And then the consequences that follow, that's their choice. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really believe that a lot of what's going on, that it really, I mean, you know, our lives, even if it's 100 years, is just a flash in the pan as far as the cosmic scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and that
absolutely.
And that it's really the real magnet for who we are, you know, how we magnetize, you know, our highest and best, and the momentum we have in that, that's the wind in our sails that we take with us past this life. You don't take anything, obviously, physical with you.
Yeah, right.
And it's all, there's a cosmic order, whether you call it the karmic board or, you know, the computer mind of God or Source, or that souls will come back in, you know, when there is a golden age or when things have settled down. And they'll come in, a soul will come into the right family at the right time, you know, in the right way, you know, with the right body. I mean, it's just like it's no coincidence. I mean, there's a cosmic order to all this, and it's all in divine order. I mean, it's and so then the more I get into this, the more I realize, well, there's just got to be, you know, it's the only thing that makes sense, and I can see it from enough different perspectives, you get a kind of a holographic view of it after a while, when you look at it all the different angles. So then it becomes like, okay, you know, we give it our best shot, you know, this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And based on, you know, the wind in our sails, you know, the momentum and attainment that, you know, we've built in service to others and the conscious evolution of others, to that extent, we get a good opportunity next time around.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned this, because it's one of the things I learned recently. Unfortunately, there is a very corrupt process that goes on here. It was set up by the dark side so that when a person passes over, if they are agitated in a negative emotional state, they will recycle right back here. And the bad guys set that up so that they would continue to harvest energy from these souls that they basically consider to be their property.
That's
insidious.
Interesting.
It's insidious, but that's
I've heard of this before.
Yeah, so then it's an unfortunate thing.
So then there's this whole thing of Buddhic non-attachment.
Yes,
it's
but again,
huge.
You have to be aware. You have to be aware of the choice.
Yeah,
you see? And they're brainwashing us, hypnotizing us, or whatever you want to call it, to only see it one way, so that it's so easy to provoke us, even up until the point where we're passing over the veil into the light, and they're saying, "Oh my God, no, not that!" You know, it's like we truly have been manipulated to be perfect slaves in some regard, but the spell is being broken, and I'm sure that's why we're even having this conversation. We're speaking to each other, but beyond that, we're speaking to a larger audience, because every person who hears this is going to be touched on some level, and then they'll touch somebody else, and so it goes exponentially.
Yeah, and I really believe that it is going, when I say exponential, there's a lot of people just getting a grasp of this process, and that there's not just an awakening, there's just a congruence with this understanding of what's going on with the collective consciousness. And if a person doesn't get to the point where they can step back from the boob tube and realize how much negativity, you know, is being programmed and conditioned to where, you know, you're going to resonate with the big lie that's so big and so bold and so often told on the boob tube, mm-hmm. that you are run by fear.
Yeah,
and
this is
you are dominated by fear, and so this whole thing of endless terror war. I mean, that's endless terror war.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you get. You know, I mean, it's a metaphor.
Violence begets violence, absolutely.
And horror begets horror.
Yes,
you know,
who is it benefiting? It's benefiting the dark side so that they can continue their parasitic existence.
That's right.
The plainer, the simpler we make this message, the easier it's going to be for certain people who are just starting to awaken and say, wow, gee, that makes a lot of sense. And not just intellectually, they're going to feel it in their heart, and their soul is going to say, I know that is true. I feel it. I feel that energy is, that information is energy. Energy is consciousness. In fact, real briefly, because I know we're getting close on the end of this, my understanding is that physics tells us that energy and matter are interchangeable, right? Depending on, you know, matter is a frozen state of energy. But they never tell us where energy is coming from, right? They just tell us, well, we can't create it or destroy it. It's just always there. Well, something is creating it all. And my understanding is that the creator is actually, like I said, an intelligent living energy. So the consciousness is primary. I know physics won't go there. They've got it all backwards. But currently they're telling us, you know, consciousness is just a derivative of, mutations and electromagnetic things, you know, electrochemical things. It's not that way at all. Consciousness is primary. It's digital. It can take various phase states. Like a drop of water can be a solid, a liquid, or a gas. Consciousness can be pure consciousness, energy, or matter, but it's all the same thing. So, but consciousness is primary because consciousness generates what we see as energy, which then can become matter. So all form, as you were saying before about the morphogenic field, our bodies don't even, the morphogenic field is what dictates the form and the function of the atoms.
Right.
To come together. They can't come together. You could get a bucket of material for a human being. It will never take the shape of a human body or an organ. It can't. It needs an intelligent blueprint, a vibratory blueprint. Okay? So, and that is energy, right? Our mind is energy, okay? It's not a bunch of gray matter. It's a transfer point for energy/consciousness. But it's not consciousness itself. It's a form of consciousness. Like I said, it's all the same stuff. It really is when you look at it. It's all coming from the same source, and it's all self-referential. But these things, these truths actually will become self-evident to people as we start to wake up more and more.
I think it's happening with a lot of people. I think that this understanding of the source field investigations and the source field, the unified field, that understanding of an intelligence that has been surging on Earth because of 250 billion star systems and the galactic plane with the great central sun in the middle of it and the Earth.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, orbiting across that right now in this 25,800 years, I think that it's just there's this energy surging in the photonic light, and it's making a lot of people sick on a regular basis because their DNA and their body just going through so many changes. So fast.
Healing crisis. Yeah.
Healing crisis. Exactly right. And Earth is in a healing crisis. And
yes,
I think
it is.
This is all in process right now.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. This was great speaking to you.
It was great. I really, this is a subject that's dear to my heart. You know, whether you call it the unveiling or the disclosure or cosmic evolution.
the Great Awakening. Yeah, it's time. It's absolutely
the Great
time
Awakening.
Yep.
So thanks again, and
yeah,
I'd like to thank everyone for listening. And until we meet again, happy trails. And Robert, I'll keep in touch.
Thank you. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic love is the heart of this synchronicity. tools and processes that empower the wisdom of cosmic love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change. Only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience. It will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The Internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.